If you have your Bibles today, go ahead and turn to the book of Revelation. We'll be spending some time in chapter 3 today. As you turn there, I want to just give a praise. Thanks, praise band. I told Bruce when we were praying together, when I see James and Bruce, Brock and Mike and Jackie, even though Jackie, I've only known you for a little while, it's a reminder of years past to me. You know, it was like 10 years ago that I was their youth pastor, and Mike and Brock just a couple years ago. But we had a thing on Sunday nights called Sunday Night Live. And it was a time of teaching. It was a time of worship. It was a time where youth gathered together. And it was a pretty sweet time during that time doing Sunday Night Live. And like some other things, they have a season. And it ended, and you have the memory of it. And today was a nice reminder of just seeing God use men and women, and as they continue to use the gifts that God's given them and talents and skills to praise His name. And it's just been a warm blessing to watch them not lead every week, but also be able to hang out with you a little bit today and do it together once again. I showed this mirror earlier to the children, but what are some other uses that we have for mirrors? And it might not just be this mirror, it might be all types of mirrors. What are some other uses that you can think of that we use mirrors for? What's that? When you're driving, that's right. They're very helpful. If I didn't have my side mirrors, there'd be times when I was making a pass to the left or to the right. They're laughing because of many youth trips, there would be times when you would cross the road and you didn't see sometimes that person all the way on the right side. So, yeah, the ones that we use for driving, those are useful. Some other mirrors that we might use or some other uses. Calvin? Glasses, yeah. I did have at one time a pair of sunglasses that had mirrors on the inside of them. And they were to be used as you were bike riding to be able to be the peripheral, the see behind you. That works until you crash, because you're so focused on the mirror images that you don't keep your eyes forward to see where you're going. And so I had to quickly get rid of those sunglasses. They're still out there, and they're still protected. You can use them for running and other things, but I would advise keeping your eyes open or focused forward when you're driving or running. What are some other ways that we use mirrors? What's that? Oh, go ahead. To reflect light, that's right, to reflect light. And I got taught that in physics class too. We were even able to shoot a laser off of mirrors. It was a good afternoon. He handed us a bunch of pocket mirrors, and we were able to shoot a laser beam all the way down through the building. Kind of shows that I'm a little geeky, and that's okay, but it was cool to watch a laser beam shoot all the way down. But you can use it to reflect light. That's right. And if you were in a dark place and you had just a little bit of light, you could use something that had a mirror on it. Maybe it was a watch, maybe something else, and it would reflect the light in it. Those are all good reasons why we use, or good ways that we use mirrors. And like I read out of James, we want to use the Word of God today to be like a mirror. And we want to hear the words that Jesus says to us and let that reflect into our heart. Let me join with me as I read chapter 3, verses 14 through 22. And to the angel of the church in Laodicea write, "The Amen, the faithful and true witness, the originator of God's creation says, I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot, and I wish that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I am going to vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say I'm rich and I have become wealthy and need nothing, and you don't know that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked, I advise you to buy from me gold refined in the fire so that you may be rich, and white clothes so that you may be dressed and your shameful nakedness not be exposed, and ointment to spread on your eyes so that you may see. And as many as I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be committed and repent. Listen, I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in him and have dinner with him and he with me. And he shall be the victor. And I will give him the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I also won the victory and sat down with my Father on his throne. Anyone who has an ear should listen to what the Spirit says to the churches. I'm grateful to have mirrors. They're very useful. Like I was telling the kids earlier, you know, when you're shaving, sometimes if you didn't have a mirror, you would miss a spot. And even if you have a mirror, sometimes you miss a spot. I can get to work sometimes, and I go looking at my face, and I'll run my hands like, oh, I missed that spot. And you try not to make it a big deal, and you take care of it when you can later on. But these words that Jesus speak, may they be used as a mirror to our hearts. Jesus is asking us today that we as a congregation, we as a body of believers, that we would take a reality check. And I want to read verse 19 to you once again. Verse 19 in this portion of Scripture is my favorite because these are some hard words that Jesus lays out to this church. This was a church who had lost its way. They were going through a tough time, and Jesus, who loves them, cares so much to take the time to write them, to give them this message, this reminder that he cared about them before he delivered a verdict of punishment that was coming. Listen to verse 19. As many as I love, I rebuke and discipline, so be committed and repent. I'm here today to share you that Jesus loves you. And because he loves you, sometimes he speaks into our hearts tough things. He's like a loving parent who, when they watch their child do something wrong, comes to them and disciplines them, instructs them that what they're doing is wrong. He cares because he loves them, and he doesn't want them to make mistakes that are going to hurt them or to do something that might hurt other people. And Jesus basically comes and he lays on them, I'm going to tell you the truth. And sometimes in our own spiritual lives, we need to hear Jesus speak truth into our heart. We don't need Jesus to flower things. We don't need Jesus to sugarcoat things. We need Jesus to kind of speak into our heart and say, let's have a reality check. Let's get right with me. Let's do this right. And he had loved this church enough that he wasn't going to let them pass another day without him sharing a word with them. Now, why would Jesus do that? It's because he loved them. And he knew that they could be a better church if they listened to the words that he was about to share with them and change. A reality check. A reality check is when we become aware of something that we might not know has always been. Or maybe it's something when we become aware of something that we just never knew was there. Or something that maybe was already there and we knew it was there, but finally, we're going to deal with it. And so a reality check, which is what a mirror does, it gives us a reality check. It gives us an opportunity to become real before the Lord. And so this morning, out of this text, I want to offer you three reality check questions. And I'm going to try to do something a little different. Okay? And different in the sense that I want to ask the questions and I want us to have an open conversation about them. Because the reality is if we did it by ourselves, and maybe you don't want to share too much today, and I'm okay with that. If you share anything, that'd be awesome too. But I want to offer these three questions because there are three questions that you can ask when you're by yourself. And these are three questions that you can ask when you spend time one-on-one with Jesus. But these are three questions I think we can ask individually, but I think these are three questions that we can ask us as a body of believers, as a church. And right now in the life of our church, I think that these three questions might help us deal with some of the things that we might struggle with currently. The first question that Jesus would want us to hear, I think, is there anything or anyone right now in your life that distracts you from your devotion to God? Is there anything, things could be electronic things, things could be video games. Things could be internet stuff. I don't know. Things could be those type of items. Or maybe it's a person. Maybe there's a person in your life right now that distracts you from your devotion to the Lord. How many of you today, if you think real hard, you can see in your life that you have something that distracts you from your devotion to the Lord? Would you be willing to raise your hand? I do. I do. There are things that I know distract me. And I sometimes I'm aware that they distract me, you know. Sometimes I'm reading a book, and that book has nothing. It's just fiction. It's a good book. And you're reading it, and you get so engrossed into it that you're up 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning, and you go through 2 or 3 more days of this, and you just can't put it down. You go to work, you do family time, and then you read it, and you're up till 2 or 3. You just got to get through the book. It becomes a distraction. Okay? If there's anything that distracts you from your devotion, go. See, the church at Laodicea, they had distractions. Jesus called them out and said, you had become wealthy. Your wealth had become a distraction for your devotion to me. Matter of fact, it had become such a distraction that it pushed me out of my proper place in your life. And how many of you have things in your life that can become distraction? Things that take the place from your devoted time to God. Living a life devoted to Him, serving Him, loving Him, spending time growing in your relationship with Him. And so the church of Laodicea, they allowed wealth to become their distraction. And they pushed Jesus out. So the first reality question that I want us to ask ourselves is there anything or anyone? And later on I'm going to give Jesus' remedy for these questions. Jesus' reality check number 2 is this. Is there anything you are hiding from God or pretending to hide from God? Once again, I'm going to offer that question to us. Is there anything in your heart, anything in your life right now? And like I said, you don't have to get specific. The fact that you're answering means that we're walking together this morning. Is there anything that you're hiding from God or you're pretending to hide from God? Would you raise your hand? Would you raise your hand? Or maybe today, you know everything is before God. God knows everything that you think about. God knows everything you're talking about, everything you watch, every person you hang out. God knows it all. You're not hiding anything. You're totally open to God. Maybe you're there. And I said, you're blessed. Because probably most of us were in a place where we have something that we try to hide from God or we're pretending to hide from God. And see, I look at this church. I don't know how big Laodicea Church was. I don't know how big they were. But I'm guessing that they thought that they could just continue to act and live and do church and be who they were, and that they could just get away doing the things that they were doing, and that God would never care. That God didn't know what was going on in their life. But if you go earlier in this passage, Jesus tells them, I know everything there is about you. I know everything that you're doing. And if that question's hard, folks. To know that there is God who loves you, and we're totally before Him, and He knows everything about you. There's nothing you can hide from Him. Like I said, I'm offering questions right now. I'm not offering any of the solutions. The reality check number 3 is this. Is there any emotional pain or built up frustration that you want to let God know about? You got any pain in your life? Or any built up frustration that you're just holding on to, but you want to give it to God? Anybody like that today? It's tough. It's hard. Like I said, I won't pick out people to put you on the spot. You get squirmish right like that. But we all do. We all have things that we're carrying on the inside. We have pains. We have heartaches. We have things that are confusing. Confusing, yeah. Things that we don't know why God allows things to happen. We don't understand why. And I'll just use this in the context of where I'm going this morning. I think of our church. We wonder sometimes why people leave. We wonder why we no longer will worship together with friends. We wonder why I'm just so angry and I can't connect to my people any longer. Sometimes we come to church and we just go through the motions. And We don't take the opportunity to get to know each other. And we carry things on and on. But God understands our frustration. You know, if you raised your hand at any time when I asked you those three questions, any of them could lead you to a spirit of lukewarmness, could lead you to a place of being lukewarm in your spiritual life. Because it does happen, if you think about it. If there's a distraction, it causes you to keep your focus off of Christ. And it creeps in. It doesn't happen like right in the front. It creeps in and keeps you distracted. Well, when that happens, it creeps into your soul, and then you just don't have that passion any longer to worship God. You no longer have that passion to read His Word. You no longer have a passion to let your brothers and sisters in Christ be a part of your life. You no longer have the passion to go to church. Matter of fact, you might even dread coming together as the church. And it takes every ounce of strength and ability to come together because you're fighting something, and it's because you allowed something to come and creep in there. Or maybe it's a pain, maybe it's a frustration, something that you think God's not big enough to deal with, but He is big enough to deal with. We just get to a place where we don't think He can deal with it. And I want to bring us back to that place, and Jesus does too in His message. We can get to a place of lukewarmness. Lukewarmness looks like this when we come together, but it's we act though we're strangers to one another. It's when we sing songs of praise and worship, but we just sing the songs and we don't think about what the words are really saying or the God who had given those words to the authors of those songs. Lukewarmness when you got to do a service project and you're like, oh, I got to go and help the people. And you dread it. And it's not a place of joy. Not a place, I got to go do something with so-and-so. One of my lukewarmness, I'm working on a trip for the youth group. But you know what? The cool thing is that a couple weeks later, when God puts all the details into place, I'll be okay. And you have that, you know, get rid of that dread. Lukewarmness. You know, we've seen enough believers who are lukewarm. God needs to work in our hearts. Well, verse 20 gives us the answer. Wow, hey, verse 20. Jesus giving us the answer. Verse 20 is a verse a lot of time is used to talk to people who do not believe in Jesus. And, you know, it talks about that Jesus is on the outside, knocking on their hearts. And if we invite them into our heart, we will have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Well, this was already a church family. This was already a church body. And this was a church body that was pushing Jesus out of its devotion, out of being the center of the church. And that happens in all of our lives. We push Jesus sometimes out of our worship. We push Jesus outside of our lives. And Jesus gives the answer. Invite me back in. Let me become the Lord again. Repent. Recommit yourself to what I got going on. Take my rebuke. Take my discipline. Learn from it. But know that I am with you through whatever you're going through, and it's because I love you. And I will not let you go through anything that you're facing alone. Jesus said, let me back in. I'm knocking on the door. Don't leave me on the outside, church. Invite me back in so that I can continue to work in your life, continue to change you and transform you into the bride that I'm going to offer to my Father one day in heaven. He loves us. And sometimes it's hard. You know, our church is in a tough spot in a lot of different ways. You know, the finances look kind of tough. Attendance looks kind of tough. Even getting along and just doing something with one another without making it such a big ordeal instead of just hanging out with one another. I want to remind us that Jesus loves us. And He wants us today to invite Him back into our lives. We need Him. See, this church in Laodicea, they had gone to a place where they had experienced God's blessing And they thought it was only themselves that had done it. But it was God blessing them. God had worked in their life. God had loved them. Jesus' Spirit was working in their lives. They hadn't done anything that Jesus did not allow them to do. And when they had gotten to the point where they thought more of their talents and skills and wealth and ability and whatever else they thought about themselves, Jesus had to come and remind them of Himself. Don't push me out. And I don't know about you, but Christmas time this year was very challenging. You know, I got to a place where I didn't want to hear what Jesus had to say. I didn't, you know, we were doing parties, we were doing church, we were doing everything, and I just like, Lord, yeah, I'm just not feeling close to You. And when I did finally get close to Him, Christmas happened. It was a joy to experience Christmas. And it happens. Things come in our lives and they distract us and they push us out of that close relationship with Him. And Jesus, I'll just use this. I've not left church. I'm in control. I know everything about your finances, church. I know every problem that's going on in every single person in this auditorium. I know everything that's going on. I know what they're thinking right now. Jesus does. And the other part I'll put is, Jesus is big enough to deal with any problem that we face as a church. He can work on mending relationships. He can work on turning finances around. He can work on doing things that He used to do and now He wants to do it again and do things that He's never done before in this church body. So that we can stand back and say, wow, that is awesome. Thank You, Jesus. We need Jesus today. We need Him every day. And when we start to think that we can live our lives without Him, then it's time to come back to that mirror and take a real hard look at that mirror and see what it has to say to us. You know, there's times when I read the Bible and I don't get anything out of it. It's just plain knowledge in my mind. And then there's times when I read the Bible and I can just feel the Spirit of God knows everything that's going on, knows what my problem is, knows what my situation, knows where I need to be encouraged to keep doing the things that honor Him. He knows when I'm feeling selfish, He knows when I'm feeling prideful, He knows everything. And I come back to the Word, and the Word reflects into me, reflects into you, and speaks right into that quiet place in your heart. And Jesus offers this. Don't push me out. Invite me back in. And when I come in, I probably am going to do some house cleaning. Make sure everything is in order. And when that happens, we can praise God too. Probably not on day one. I mean, a child doesn't say, thank you, Mom and Dad, for disciplining me. Thank you. I needed to be told how to act. Thank you for not letting me have candy for breakfast and lunch and dinner. Thank you, Mom and Dad. They don't do that. And then they get older. And hopefully they got to a place where they have learned right from wrong. And then they begin to experience things that we told them that they were going to experience. And if you trusted God, if you take my own teachings that I gave you, you'll be okay. And they do. And they're like, I'm glad you taught me that. Jesus is like that with us. And when He comes back into your heart, when Jesus comes in and He corrects things and He makes things right, it will be a reunion in your heart. Things will begin to look different in your life. You'll come to worship songs and you'll be like, that speaks to me. That's the song of my heart. You'll go read the Word. Those are the words in my heart. You'll get together with some other believer and they'll say a word into your heart. They'll be praying for you and talking to you and you're like, that's exactly how I feel. And then you feel connected because you're going through some life event together and not feeling like you're all by yourself. Jesus invites us to invite Him back into His church. Invite Him back into our hearts. And as he does that, he'll reveal those things that you need to give him. Worship band, if you would come. Church, I'd ask you to stand. Invitations are, you know, when you put together, you're working together with a message or even working together in a worship service, I'm not always sure what to do with the invitation time. You know, I've been a part of enough church experiences where this was often a time when you invited people, if they were ready, to give their life to Jesus. And sometimes God did. He poured out and people came forward and the pastor would pray for the person and they would, at that moment, be receiving the Lord as their Lord and Savior. And then the church body just surrounded them and loved on them. And invitations have also been, invitation time, an inviting of the church to come forward to utilize this front area, this altar area, to pray. As a time to, maybe God, during the message, laid something on your heart that you need to not leave the house, but do business right now. Don't let a moment go by without whatever God laid on your heart. Don't let it go by without talking to Him about it. And so sometimes we have the altar open so that you can come. And you know what happens sometimes? When somebody comes to the altar by themselves, a lot of times somebody will come right beside them. And they pray with them. And they don't even have to talk about what's going on. They might not be ready yet, but they can come to Jesus. And then when somebody joins and prays with them, they don't know what's going on, but they know Jesus. And they know Jesus is bigger than whatever they're facing. And they would need to know that God's people are going to walk with them, whatever it is, going to walk with them. And so that's a form of invitation. My invitation today is to think about those three questions. Is there any area of your life today that is distracting you or being a distraction from your devotion to God? And if it is, heed the word that Jesus had. Repent. Give them to Jesus. Jesus might be the only person that is going to help you with whatever distraction is in your life. Ultimately, we want to be close with Jesus. And if you have a distraction in that relationship, let Jesus remove it. Let Jesus move it aside and put something in place that is better, that draws you near. Or maybe it's the second. Maybe you've got something in your life you've been hiding, or something you're pretending to hide. And what I mean by that is sometimes we hide things. Sometimes I'll hide snacks. Nobody knows that they're there. I sure do, and I'm grateful for it. But you hide them there. It's real. It's there, even if you do hide them. Okay? Why do I hide them? I know that's another question. But sometimes we have things in our life that we're lying to ourselves or some other type of form of lie, okay? Something that we're hiding. And the last one, maybe you have a pain today. Maybe today you got some hurt feelings. Maybe you got some bent-up frustrations. Maybe you're just not really feeling close to God because of all that. And I offer you today, come pray with me. I will not change your circumstances. I will not change what goes on. But I believe that God loves you and He can change you and work in whatever situation you're going through right now.